told him I didn't want this thing, but I was forced to. And Richard Jones said, I only have 20 minutes, so I had to do that to him. We'll start with verse 38. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. If I can ever keep this thing on. There we go. And the title of my lesson this evening is called The Things of God. And we begin Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him to her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha, distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And as Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Probably a few months ago, I presented a lesson at the Veterans Home, and I chose this text. And it'll be along those lines, but my remarks will be extended, especially when I'm exclusively talking to the church. When we look at life, and we look as Christians, there are many things that we are concerned about. But there are those things that belong to God, and that they must come first. And just a brief summary, and it's an endless list, really, of the things of God and the things that we need to put first and be concerned about. You know, is praying, studying God's Word, attending worship services, attending gospel meetings, teaching a Bible class, holding a Bible study, leading song service, visiting the sick, helping the elderly, winning the lost, etc., etc. It just goes on and on and on. And every one of us are involved in those things. And they're just simply called the things of God. Those are things that God wants us to do concerning Him. And He requires. And as we look at this text, especially this text here, we see two women, Mary and Martha, and they are, we see them again in the Gospel of John with their brother Lazarus being dead and Jesus raising him from the dead. But these are two outstanding women. And I believe the things that is said in this particular passage here, we can learn from this that what Jesus thinks and feels about and watches us concerning the things that we do for God, which is very important. There are really three points here that we want to look at, and the three are distraction, criticism, and choosing. And believe me, I'll get all three of those out of this short, small passage. But I think this is a very powerful passage here. And for me, it's just typical. Number one, Martha's distraction was very important. Martha was serving the guests in her home. And that was very important. And to any woman that has guests in her home, that is one of the first things they think about. You know, if you come to my home, you depend on me to serve you something. You're going to go hungry. But my wife is always very tentative to that point. And she will think about it long before I do, because you might go hungry or thirsty. And I see Robert smiling, and he knows it's kind of a small joke with us about this. But, and that's good. And it was important. It's not that what Martha was doing and serving the guests in her home was not important. It was very important. And it was very necessary. But the thing of it is, she got it kind of out of tilt. She got it out of order. Because the serving could have been done, but she was doing it immediately while Jesus was sitting there, apparently, as we see, and teaching others in the home. And we can see this distraction. And that's what it was. And that's what it was called. In verse 4 it says, Martha was distracted with much serving. She got distracted. And doesn't that reflect our own lives today? And he also says, Jesus says about Martha in verse 41. He says, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. She was distracted, but she was troubled and worried about many things. Can that not be said about all of us? It can be said about me. It can be said about me. That we're constantly always distracted. And sometimes we get worried and we're concerned about things in life. And it can happen so easy. And let me say this. If I paint a dim picture of Martha, which I think she was an outstanding godly woman, I'm painting a dim picture of myself. Because I can become easily distracted with life and the things goes on. My wife can say when we're leaving and going to town, can you stop by the post office so I can mail a letter? When I get to Spurgeon's, I'm getting ready to make a right. And she knows I'm getting ready to make a right because I've done been distracted. She says, post office. And then I remember and go on. But I can be so easily distracted. And my, aren't we that way? I mean, I can work out in my shop and need a tool and walk 30 feet to the toolbox. Time I get there, I've got the tool I need. I have to go back and go to work and figure out what I needed. We can become so easily distracted in life. Many accidents out on the road are caused by distraction. And it's something very simple many times. And so I find myself, if I'm talking about Martha, about these things, I'm talking about myself easily because I am distracted about the things in life. And sometimes I get those distractions out of order, just like Mary. It's not that they're not important. They are important. But there's something that comes in front of that all the time. And I have to be reminded from the Lord and from my brothers and sisters in Christ that there is an order and those things must come first, and that is the things of God. And so we can easily become distracted. But those distractions and those things that take our attention away from the Lord are important. They really are important. But are they important concerning the Lord? Do we put Him down the line? And I fear sometimes we do that. And I've done that. And shouldn't have done it. And had to repent and turn around and stop doing that and start doing the right things. No matter how we cut it, we make decisions of importance on the order of importance, and it's ours. It belongs to us. Granted, there are some things out of our control, and there are. There really are. We just don't have any control over them. But I ask you, really, how often does that happen? How often does it happen? Too many times people put the things of God down the line and they shouldn't have done it. And they made a decision. I made the decision. It's my responsibility and we should pay attention to it. But it does happen often. And I think we can learn from this and what the Lord said to Martha and what happened to Martha. And the comparison, and we'll look at the comparison, which is her sister Mary and what she chose to do. But you know, again, there can be some things that are really, really, we think, really important in life. And we get distracted. I think of things today, right now, that is a huge distraction for me. And I have to remind myself, don't get taken away with this. The election today is very important. For me, it's very important. It's probably the most, and I've had people agree with me, this is the most important election in my lifetime. And I think it goes beyond that. I think this is the most important election in our 200-year history. We're going to make a determination, and we're going to go one way or the other. Now, which way? I don't know. But I cannot allow myself to be distracted where I forget about doing what I'm doing right now. Or Friday night talking to somebody about their soul. Or doing other things that God requires me to do. I have to remind myself constantly that God must come first in everything. the things of God, no matter how we think that it's not important, it is very important. Now, some of the things I listed and some things we may think we may never do, but there are many other things that we do that we can do and is very important to God. You know, we can all study God's Word. We can attend services. We can attend gospel meetings. But sometimes, even in that, we get distracted from that. So we have to be very careful about that. My second point is criticism. Have you noticed that Martha criticized her sister, Mary, for not helping her? But Mary remained at the feet of Jesus. Mary didn't move. Mary remained where she was, even at the criticism of her sister, whom she loved. She could have gotten up and immediately began serving, but she didn't. She remained right there where she was at the feet of Jesus and learning from Him. But you know, sometimes with us today, and I've been in this predicament, and I've seen others I know are in this predicament. We can become frozen out of, now let me repeat that, we can become frozen out of doing the things of God because we're in fear of criticism from our brothers and sisters in Christ. We really can. And I've almost heard those words from individuals, my brothers and sisters, that they would not do it because there was a fear of criticism. And so thus, considering that they may draw criticism or they may make a mistake and look bad, so to speak, or whatever, they didn't do what they could do, what they had the ability to do. If you teach a class, you're going to draw some criticism. You are going to draw some criticism. But should that fear of that criticism keep us from doing the things of God? What God would have us to do? No. No, we shouldn't. Mary didn't. And if the brethren does criticize us, and it will happen. It will happen. Sometimes justified, sometimes unjustified. Sometimes I think we take it wrong, and it's just constructive criticism. It's trying to help us be better. Because there have been times in teaching a class that I drew criticized and it was justified and I needed to change the way I did things. But then there was times when it wasn't. But either time, should I have just quit and not done it anymore? No. No, I shouldn't. I shouldn't stand in fear of that because, you know, we may make mistakes and we may say things wrong. But the question would be is, why are you doing that? See, why am I doing this tonight, right here, right now? Nobody asked me, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because of the Lord. I know this is what He wants me to do. And if He doesn't want me to do it, He'll have me do something else. And there are other things that I may not be the best at, but I can do. I think it's the same way. Well, some won't lead songs because they're afraid they'll make a mistake. I've made so many mistakes, and poor Robert, he just carries me along. You know, he's been a good person to lean on this thing. But I've made mistakes in it. And I've had some people give me advice, and it was welcome, and I'm glad they told me. But you know, since I've been sung, I have gotten unnecessary criticism from somebody. And the immediate thought was, I'll just stop leading songs. But that would have been wrong. See? It would have been wrong. Because why am I doing this? And I know I'm not the best song leader. When I look at a book, this music here, when I look at this right here, when you look at a original Greek text, many of you, and all you see is scribbling, that's what I see. I can look at a Greek text and I can pretty well figure out what's going on. But that's how bad. But does that keep me from that fear and criticism of maybe making a mistake from doing the things of God? And I'm afraid many times my brethren have that problem, have that difficulty. And you ought to put it aside because you ought to come to this conclusion. The Lord wants me to do it, and I'm going to do it. That's the way Mary was. Her sister Martha, that was not justified, but she did criticize her for that. But she stayed right at the feet of Jesus because she knew that was the most important thing. As a matter of fact, that's what Jesus said. He said in verse 42, "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." She made a decision. We'll talk about that in a minute. And that was very important. But we should never allow criticism from really anybody, even outside the church or within the church, the body of Christ. And I know sometimes that does happen. And sometimes it's unnecessary. It's unintended. And you figure out, why did they do that? Well, that's fine. But the problem is, or the point is why are we doing it? I'm doing it because the Lord wants me to do it. And that should be the only... Mary was sitting there because she knew that's what the Lord wanted her to do. And she didn't move a bit. She continued to sit there because she wanted that which could not be taken away from her. Point number three. Choosing the right thing. Mary made a choice. And Jesus made that choice known to all. The power of choice lies within all of us. Sometimes we want to lay on someone else or something else, but in reality, it lies within us. And some of us are awful good. And I can be good too. Well, you know, I got to do this. And therefore, I can't do this. I can't do this for the Lord. And it sounds awful good. And I can make it sound good. But I wonder, and this is a question I have myself, I wonder, is that going to work when I have to stand before the Lord? But I am standing before the Lord, see? And I know. We have to make a choice to do the right thing. And it's going to be in the face of distractions and criticisms of others. And my, how many times have we made decisions? Why in the world do you get up on Sunday morning? Every Sunday morning you go to church. Why do you do that? Or if I'm standing around with the guys that I drive bus with and they tell dirty jokes and I don't laugh, they look at me like, why don't you laugh? I should be like the rest of them. I should laugh at their filthy jokes. But I don't. Why? Because I made a choice. And that is to be obedient to Jesus and to do what I know He wants me to do. Again, the power of choice lies within all of us. We all make decisions every day, every moment, every circumstance. I don't care what I'm doing, from working in the shop, driving a bus, or just being out in the community. I have to choose to do the right thing. When I'm driving, I have to choose to do the right thing. And if I don't, there are consequences for that. Mary chose the good part. She was not distracted. She did not let criticism change her choice. And that choice has not been taken away from her to this day. You see, when we make the right choice and we do the things of God, that will never be taken away from us. Why? Because Jesus said so. Every day of our lives, we make choices concerning things of God. Ultimately, the choice will either draw us away from the Lord or it will draw us near the Lord. That's the way it happens. And we have to make that decision. You know, we can see in this lesson, I can see myself as Martha. I've been Martha. I've been there. I know. And I can wind up again in that same predicament. And there's many times. You remind me, You don't know it, but you do remind me not to go there. You remind me. But I can wind up like it. Or I can be like Mary and I can make that choice and remain faithful to the Lord in every aspect of my life. You see, even down to the smallest thing in our lives, we have to make those choices as to whether we will be obedient to the Lord and do the things concerning God. See? And we filter everything through that. Tonight, I hope this lesson has been helpful to you. But remember, distraction, don't be distracted. And it can happen very easily, really easy. And don't let criticism freeze you from doing the things of God. Because we all, I know, I don't like criticism, but it happens. And it's going to happen. And so you just might as well live with it. But if your eyesight, if you're looking toward the Lord and you know the reason why you're doing it, that criticism, you will be able to handle that, I believe. And always make sure that we choose the right thing because the Lord is watching us. See, He was watching this whole situation. And He defended Mary in her decision. She didn't budge. You see, that's the way we should do. When we make a decision to do something for the Lord, we shouldn't budge. We should remain faithful to that. Tonight, if you have not named the name of Jesus, not have been obedient to Him, tonight is a perfect time for that. So many people today need to make the decision to be obedient to Jesus. Why? I was talking to a young man Friday night about his... We started, of course, off on the election, but I always make it come around to the Lord. And we talked about the church, and he, you know, voiced his disgust with what was going on out in the community about different churches and how he didn't like what they were doing, and in the fact that they weren't outreaching to the community. And I told him, I said, look, that's not the church's responsibility. Church responsibility is win the lost. That's it. And if we reach out to the community, it's an individual thing. It's not the church's responsibility. But we went on to talk about different things, and then he left and he come back. Well, when he departed, I talked about one thing. Started talking about judgment. And that we're going to face our God in judgment, every one of us. Then he left. And he come back, and the look on his face was, I got his attention. You could tell. And I told him, I said, anytime you wish to study the Scriptures, I'll be glad to. You know, when you start talking about judgment, people become very sober. They're ready to listen. And you can see the expression on their face. Because you know, there's one thing about it. All of us in this room eventually are going to depart from this life. And we will stand before our God. And there are going to be some people that claim to be religious, and Jesus is not going to know them. Lord, didn't we cast out demons in Your name? Didn't we heal in Your name? Didn't we do great wonders in Your name? Depart from me, worker of iniquity, I never knew You. But there are going to be those that know nothing about the Lord, and they're not going to know Him. But then there's going to be those that when we depart from this life, we're going to know Jesus. Not in the eyesight, but here. That's how we're going to know Jesus. We're going to be right at home with Him. And the only way that can happen is that we have to become obedient and walk with Him every day of our lives. If you have not done that, this is an opportunity for you to do that. You can come forward and we can study with you and help you to become a Christian. If you're a Christian, you have fallen away, and maybe you have given up on some things. An opportunity to turn around. One thing about great about being a Christian is that very moment you can turn to the Lord. Doesn't matter. What happened, what you did, you can turn. That's the great thing about being a Christian. That's a great thing about having a loving, forgiving Father. Is we can change at any given moment. If you have a desire to do that, please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.